Took some of you back, didn't it? Just saying. A little bit different, a little bit fun. Hopefully got your attention as we begin this brand new series that we're getting ready to start this week entitled Next. And you know, as you do that, some of you maybe who have looked back, you saw that, you say, you know, that's kind of like, you know, I remember some of that. You may also be have a tendency to say in a situation like that, you know, yeah, I'm a little bit older right now. You know, I've done my duties. I've given my service. And so, you know, I've earned the right to sit back and relax a little bit and let younger people serve. And times change. You know, we realize that. You may be in a period of your life right now where you feel like you don't have much to offer. Life hasn't been easy for you. There's been disappointments. There's been failures. There's been heartaches. And you look around and you think, man, there are so many other people who are more gifted than I am. So many other people who are more qualified to serve, more talented. And so what you do is you come week after week, and you sit in a row and you enjoy the show. And that's your involvement. Every week, month in and month out. And you leave and you're pretty much uninvolved with anybody else during the week. And then you come back the next week and you sit in a row and enjoy the show. Now, if you're with us for the first time or if you're joining us online, a special welcome to you. You couldn't have picked a better Sunday to get involved because, again, we're at the front end of this new series. And one of the things that we realize as we go through life is full of next, isn't it? I mean, remember, some of you, you know, you remember back when you were in a junior in high school, you senior in high school, getting into that age group, and you started to wonder, what's next? And that time was a time of excitement, also a time of apprehension. And then depending on what you did, maybe you went to college, maybe you served in the military. When you came to the end of that time, you found yourself again in that time of life saying, what's next? And it's a time of excitement, time of apprehension, a little bit of uncertainty perhaps going on there. But life is that way all through life. We hit certain ages and we say, what's next? Or some of us hit an age and we say, what happened? But that's a different story. How many of you remember this commercial that was on TV a while back? Next, there we go. Life is like a box of chocolates. And some of you feel that way, don't you? Some of you, your life has been a series of ups and downs, of victories and failures, of fulfilled dreams and disappointments, and you're never sure what you're going to get next. So what you've done is instead of risking it, you've decided on a safe course of action for your life. And basically what you've done is you've taken your seat on the proverbial bench of life, and you're hoping that the coach doesn't look your way and say, I need you to get in the game. You know, you're going to cheer the other players on when they're winning, and if they're not winning, you're going to critique them. Oh, he should have done this. Oh, he should have ran that one. He did the wrong play on that one. And so we kind of do that. And you know, in professional sports, you know this, when somebody hits age 40, they're considered a has-been most of the time. You got a few people that beat that mark. I remember a guy by the name of Willie Mays. Some of you probably don't remember that name. But, you know, he went well beyond that. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to mostly you senior players. Now, you younger people, you listen in too, because what I'm about to say affects you as well. And if you follow what I'm about to say, you'll never have to sit on the bench. You'll never have to get out of the game. And wherever you are in life, let me just tell you this. Life is not like a box of chocolates. Your life is like a treasure chest. There are riches of experience in it that if you will utilize them, they'll enrich those you come in contact with. They'll help other people. And your treasure chest is unique. There's nobody who has a treasure chest like you. The treasure chest that you have is a unique blend. And I want you to hear this. This is so important. It is a unique blend of opportunities that you've had, of failures that you faced, of academic successes and challenges perhaps that you've had, of accomplishments, of learning disabilities, handicaps, illness, whatever it is, you have a unique treasure chest that can be leveraged for the good of other people, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you've been through. Now, besides Myra and I, okay, and Kim, who's working the slides, so she has my notes, who can tell me who this person is, besides Myra and I? Can any of you tell me who this person is? You are looking at Dr. Howard Hendricks, longtime professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. Now, most of you don't recognize that face, obviously, because nobody raised their hand and said, oh, I know who that is. Myra knew. But that's because he used to come to Moody all the time. And Prof. Hendricks, as he was known, taught at Dallas Theological Seminary for over 60 years. Tremendous, tremendous communicator. And he poured his life into so many students. As a matter of fact, if you've ever enjoyed Dr. Charles Swindoll on the radio, or David Jeremiah, or Andy Stanley, you've been touched by Dr. Hendricks because he taught all of them and 10,000 more over those years. Now, Dr. Hendricks, as I mentioned, was a master communicator. I used to love it when he came to Moody because he always held your attention, always had a story to tell, very straight, very upfront, you know, had some great one-liners that he would give from time to time. And I always look forward to hearing Dr. Hendricks. When Andy Stanley was one of his students, he asked him one time, he said, Dr. Hendricks, he said, you know, man, why don't you start a church here in Dallas? Because if you started a church here in Dallas, it would be the largest church in the city. And Dallas is full of very large churches. And Howard Hendricks, you know, he's from Philadelphia. And he said, Stanley, I can do more damage for the kingdom of God standing behind this lectern than I could ever do standing behind a pulpit. And he's, you know, was right. He said, teaching you knuckleheads is what he said, actually. Now, Dr. Hendricks died in 2013 at the age of 88. But let me tell you something about this man. As much as he accomplished, his life was not easy. When he was born, his parents divorced. Now, divorce wasn't common back then in the 20s. It was around 1924 is when he was born. Divorce was not common. And it was at his birth that they divorced. So he grew up thinking that they divorced because of him. And he grew up insecure, and he grew up angry, and he was a troubled kid. He was raised by his grandmother in Philadelphia, and his fifth grade teacher did an analysis on him, and you know what she said about him? She said, Howard Hendricks, Howie Hendricks, is most likely to end up in prison. That's what I think of this boy. And she even tied him to his seat with a rope and put tape over his mouth to keep him quiet in class. And then, in the sixth grade, he introduced himself to his sixth grade teacher whose name was Mrs. Noe, N-O-E. And she told him, I love this, She said, I have heard a lot about you, but I don't believe a word of it. And those words changed his life. He recognized for the first time that there was someone who cared about him. Someone who thought he was valuable. Someone who saw him for who he was, not for his reputation. Howard Hendricks says, people are always looking for someone to say, hey, I believe in you. I believe in you. And he spent more than 60 years as a professor telling his students, I believe in you. It's made a world of a difference all around the world. There are people who serve because Prof. Hendricks believed in them. 2003, at the age of 78, he was interviewed by Dallas Morning News, where he said this. He said, you are looking at a completely fulfilled human being. You're looking at a completely fulfilled human being. If I die today, having produced some of the people God has given me the privilege of shaping, it would have been worth showing up on this planet. Now, how would you like to be able to say something like that at the end of your life? You're looking at a completely fulfilled human being. They've been up and down, yep, I know that, but you're looking at a completely fulfilled human being. And you know how you can get to be that way? It's not by the money that you have in the bank. It's not by your retirement account. Okay? It's not by hoarding the treasure that is you. It's by giving it away. By leveraging your life experience to help other people. And particularly to help those who are coming along behind you. Sharing your life with them. You know, Jesus was speaking on the kingdom of God, as he often did. And he used parables to make his point many times. Stories, made up stories that were given to illustrate his point. And if you're a church person, the story that we're going to look at today is Matthew chapter 25. If you have your Bible, you want to turn there to Matthew chapter 25. And we call it the parable of the talents. But understand that talents does not mean, you know, like you saw on the movie earlier, spinning chairs and doing, you know, talents. It means money in this particular case. And so you can look it up. We're going to be parable of talents beginning at verse 14 in Matthew 25. You can either look it up on your iPad or your iPhone, look this way. We're going to put it up on the screen for you as well to make it as easy as we can. Here's how we start. Again, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Now, you need to see that. He entrusted, he didn't give the wealth away. He's not giving them the money. He's simply saying, I am making you responsible to manage what I am entrusting to your care. It's not yours to keep. You are to be a steward for me. Now, your life, no matter how you like to look at it, your life is not your own. And you don't even, that applies to those of you who aren't even Christ followers. Your life is not your own. You were put here for a purpose. You were given a trust by the God of the universe to do something. And you need to leverage that. Not for your glory, but for God's glory. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five more bags. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time. Now this means, in the Greek, it means after a lifetime. After this guy had, they've lived their full life. They're now old men themselves. After a lifetime, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Because what he had given them was not theirs. It was his. And they were to use it for his benefit. Because he was going out of town, he left his investments with them to put them to work. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the five and said, "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more." You see, this guy couldn't wait for the day to arrive when the master returned home. He realized from day one that what he had was a gift entrusted to him to do something with for his master, not for himself. So from day one, this guy started to invest what he was given and multiply what he was giving. Same thing with the guy with two bags. The man with two bags of gold came and said, "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more." And I want you to notice, neither one of these guys said, "Master, the money you gave me," because they realized it wasn't theirs. The Apostle Paul kind of puts this parable into practical focus when he writes these words: "This then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ, as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust prove faithful." And that's what these two guys have done. So the master in the parable says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He says this to both of those guys. "You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many, many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Now, do you know how you share in your master's happiness? The way you share in your master's happiness is by investing what he has given you in service for him. It's as simple as that. Not by hoarding it, but by investing it, by leveraging it to help those you come in contact with. Dr. Hendricks, you're looking at a completely fulfilled human being. If I died today, having produced some of the people God has given me the privilege to shape, it would have been worth showing up on this planet. And I understand that. You never know if you're involved and you're helping people, particularly if you're working in the children's ministry in some way, and you're helping kids come along, you don't know that you're not dealing with the next Billy Graham or next Dr. Hendricks in your class. You never know. I know my Sunday school teachers, when they were looking at me, they probably often shook their head and said, "Not much hope here." You never know. You never know. You never know. Now the parable takes kind of an ominous turn at this point. You come to this last guy. "Then the man who received one bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew you were a hard man.'" Notice he doesn't start off with, "You entrusted me with one bag." He says, "I knew you were a hard man. You're hard to work for. I know that. I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. You gave me life, and I'm just giving it back. Now, if we could bring this guy up to today, he's like a lot of us in a lot of ways. Here's what he would have sounded like. Master, you didn't give me the same opportunities you gave those other two guys. I mean, you know, he had 5 bags of gold. He had 2 bags of gold. I just had one. I didn't have the opportunities that they had. I was just average. I didn't have the talents. No way you could have expected me to do with my one bag what they did with their bags. No way. It just isn't right. If you go back to the beginning of the parable, one of the things that you realize is this guy is partially right. Because at the beginning of the parable, it said the master distributed the bags according to the abilities that he saw in those servants. The guy in Jesus' parable might not have had 5 bags, this last guy. He might not have had 2 bags. But here's what we know. He had exactly what the master wanted him to have. And there was a purpose in what he had. And you may not have 5 bags in your life. You may not have 2 bags. But you have exactly what God wants you to have. To leverage for him. Your problems. Your difficulties. Your OCD. Or ADHD. You see that post on Facebook? I love it. It said, I have OCD and ADD. I need things perfect, but only for a little bit of time. And I, just so that you know, I don't have OCD, so I can't, you know, I do have CDO. That's OCD in its proper order. You are a unique blend of what God wants. And if you'll use it and not hoard it, you know what you'll discover? You'll discover that that thing in your life that you hate so much is the one thing that maybe God is going to use so greatly. When I was growing up, you know my story. Most of you know my story. Some of you don't. But when I was growing up, I had a horrible speech impediment. My parents couldn't even understand me when I spoke. So I just stopped talking. And they sent me to special classes in school because there was something wrong with that boy. And I went from first to the 10th grade in those classes. Didn't do me a bit of good. And I was angry at everybody, including God. But then, at 16, I made an awesome discovery. And that was God didn't make a mistake in making me the way he made me, of putting me in the family that he put me in, and in putting me in the circumstances I was put in. I grew up in the inner city. A little white boy who couldn't talk. I fought a lot just to survive. I spent more time in the principal's office than I did in the classroom, unfortunately. But here's what I know. I wouldn't trade a minute of that. Because I've learned that God was making a treasure in me. And he's making a treasure in you as well. And those things that you struggle with and that you hate about your life, he has a purpose for them. Trust him. If you trust him and leverage it for the benefit of others, you're going to grow. But as long as you keep trying to hoard it, you're going to stay angry and upset, and it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. So don't sit back and say, man, I'm just not as smart as them. I don't have one of these things strapped to my head so I can't help people the way you help them. Every one of us are different. Every treasure is unique. And here's what I know. There is only one you. You are as unique as those fingerprints on your finger. And God will use it if you'll let Him. If you'll stop complaining about what you don't have and start leveraging what you do have. Problems and all. And some of you, I know this, some of you are refusing to use your treasure because you know that if your chest is open, this is what people are going to find in your chest. Oh, there's some skeletons there. There's some things that I've done that I'm not so proud of. I don't want anybody to know about it. Because of that, you think you're here and your treasure can't be used. Let me tell you something. Maybe you're here and you're a parent and you're saying, you know what, I can't work with kids. I mean, my own kids don't even listen to me. That doesn't disqualify you. As a matter of fact, here's what I know. If you've gone through that and that's kind of been your struggle, you've got a unique opportunity to help some young parents not experience the same thing by teaching them what you did wrong. Use it. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know, I can't help lead a married group, a small married group. I can't do that. I mean, I've been divorced. I'm on my second marriage. Listen, you know better the pain of divorce than anybody else. Leverage it. Leverage it. Here's what I know. Your greatest area of ministry is going to come out of your greatest area of weakness. Because God tells us, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I stand up here amazed week after week that I get to do this because I couldn't talk until I was 16. My greatest area of weakness, God was using and leveraging, and I know it's not me. It can never be me. It's about Him. And He took the weakest area of my life and He said, you know what? Watch what I do with this. Watch how I transform it. And He wants to do that for you as well. But you've got to be willing to open the chest, skeletons and all. Now look at the master's response to this last guy. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest what I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Now, he said, it wasn't that you didn't have an opportunity. You had one bag. You were just lazy. You were too focused on yourself that you didn't even go down to the bank and put it on deposit. Didn't even put it in an interest-bearing account. You were just too lazy. Not that you didn't have the opportunity. You just didn't want to. So he says, take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they'll have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be given, taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I got to tell you something. When you're dealing with parables, there's a tendency, particularly for those of us in the church, there's a tendency to try to make them say more than they say, to mean more than they mean. And because this parable is about the kingdom of God, It's easy for us to mistakenly think that Jesus is talking about heaven and hell. Hey, you didn't do what I said to do, so guess what? You get to go to hell. That is not what he is talking about here. This is not a parable about eternal destinies. This is a parable about opportunities. Okay, so understand that. To say, I'm throwing you out, what he's basically saying is, guess what? You missed your opportunity. You no longer get to be in my inner circle. I've learned that I can't trust you with what I've given you. So I'm going to spend my time giving it to somebody who's proven that I can trust them. That's what I'm going to do. Now, it's not because of what you don't have. It's because you refuse to use what you do have. And you are so busy, some of you are so busy comparing your average life to somebody who's above average, and you're saying, oh, I could never do that. I can't serve. So you don't even try. Now, I was 24 years old when I was ordained for ministry at Union Gospel Church. And, you know, I was pretty excited about that. And, you know, it's been kind of a wonderful time for me since then. That was 1976, so it kind of gives you an idea where I am. But what I've discovered, all of those years, the older I get, the treasure chest of my life begins to fill up exponentially at a greater rate, and I've got more and more to share because I've got more and more experiences in my life. Failures, I blow it a lot. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that those times when I blow it, I learn a whole lot more than those times when I succeed at something. Just the way it is. And the same is true for you. But sadly, often, when we hit a certain age and it didn't turn out the way we thought it was going to turn out, and that age could be any, you know, some of you are very young and you've hit that age already because there's some things in your life that you're not real happy with and you just kind of turned off and tuned out. Can't be used. Just the way I am. Some of you are older people and you kind of hit that age and you're stopped asking what's next. And you just start squandering the resources that are yours, thinking that your greatest potential is behind you. And so you sit on the bench and you let other people play. Why don't you just get in and coach them if you can't play? Coach. What are you doing with the treasure that God has entrusted you with? Are you using it for his glory or are you burying it in the sand because, and I'm sorry, you are simply too lazy to get involved, to do something, to make a difference with your life? You don't want to know what he has for you, because you're kind of afraid to know. Now, no secret, we've undergone some pretty big changes here at Gateway. And some of you have been sitting on the bench cheering us along. Some of you have been sitting on the bench analyzing the plays. But what we need is for you to get off the bench and get in the game and leverage the treasure God has given you. William Walling wrote me an observation after having visited a church up in the Northeast. You need to understand something. The churches in the Northeast are much like the churches were in Europe back when I was over there in the 70s. They're dead and dying. They've got these huge buildings, these huge cathedrals many times, and they've got a handful of people occupying the seats. So William's up there, and he says this. He says, after my experience up north with the church, my eyes are wide open to what we've been talking about and what we need to be doing. For the most part, Charlene and I were the youngest people in attendance at that service. Okay? Now, I'm not going to say anything about Charlene, okay? But I want to promise you, William is no young chicken. He probably robbed the cradle, right? There you go. Got it. And he went on to say this. He said, we were treated with open arms, of course, but it was definitely an older crowd. I found myself thanking God for what we have here at Gateway and the direction we're headed. My ordination, Reverend Robert Tague, read a poem that I've never forgotten. Here's what he said. An old man going a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. That solemn stream had no fears for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and he built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your time in building here. Your journey will end with the ending of day. You never again must pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come today, he said, there follows after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm which has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friends, I'm building the bridge for him. Who are you building for? Are you building? If you cross that chasm, you say, I don't mean not look back. It's somebody else's problem. Are you going to take the time to build a bridge for those who are coming behind? If you want to make a difference in this community, in your world, here's what I need you to do. I need you to take the treasure that is you and invest. I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about you, your experiences. I need you to take that. I need you to build a bridge for those you are coming in contact with, those who are following. They may be younger. They may not be younger. It may be that they're just not involved in church, and they need a bridge built too. And you're the one to do it. Get involved in a small group. We've got plenty of small groups. Someone was asking me about them today. Ask Jason when they meet. I don't know when all of them meet. I know we've got a bunch of small groups that meet during the week. Get involved in a small group, because I'm going to tell you something. Life is a whole lot better in circles than it is in rows. It just is. Get involved. Volunteer better to lead a small group. Say, I don't have a lot to offer. Yes, you do. We'll teach you. Share your experience with others. And if you'll do that, I promise you this, you're going to eventually be glad you did. Volunteer for a service team. You know, in 4 weeks, we're going to be going to a new format. We're going to be going to two services here at Gateway. We're going to have a service at 9. We're going to have another service at 11. And Sunday school at that time is going away. And some of you are really bent out of shape about that. I want to tell you something. The reason Sunday school is going away is not because we don't care about our children. We care desperately about our children. And that's why it's going away. I mean, think about this. If you were the devil and you wanted to keep somebody away from something good, wouldn't you name it school? Just saying. Okay? We're going to be building a new program. It's called Adventure Kids. Some of you had the experience of seeing how this worked in Vacation Bible School this week. And it's going to be called Adventure Kids. And we need volunteers for that. The mission of Adventure Kids, this is going to sound familiar, but the mission for the Adventure Kids is to lead kids into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's unique, isn't it? No, it's what we do, to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can be part of that. In the back of your bulletin, on the thing where we, by the way, we heard you, and so you got the list of what's going on every week. On the back of that, there's a list of job descriptions that we need for Adventure Kids. You can be a part of that. We need check-in greeters. That's people who come in, sign up, particularly new people, so that, and even our old people, we're going to sign up. No kid is going to go back to Adventure Kids unaccompanied. Parents have to be there, and when they leave Adventure Kids, they're going to have to be accompanied by their parents. We're not going to dismiss them back there and let them run up here to the front. You're going to have to go get them. We need check-in greeters for that. We need music and worship leaders for that. Young people who've got some talent. You know, we could use you in that. We need production supply managers. That's the people who make sure the costumes are there. We need presenters. That's people who maybe have a little bit of ability to act, or they can be really interesting. Prof. Hendricks used to say that it's a sin to bore children with the Word of God. We need people who can be exciting and make the lesson exciting. And so there'll be a presentation in this big group, and that'll be acted out, and it'll be a lot of fun and a lot of energy. And then we need people who will go with those kids into small group leaders, and they'll talk with them on their age group about the lesson that they just learned. You don't even have to teach. All you got to do is ask questions. How great is that? Oh, by the way, if you want to, you can call that Sunday school, because that's basically what it is. They're going in small groups by their age group. And we need people to lead that. And we need people to help us also in our sound and guest services here at Gateway. We need greeters indoors. We need greeters outdoors. We need parking attendants who are going to actually help park cars. Not because our lot is so big people can't find a place. The reason we have that is so that people have that first touch and they know we care about them. There's something different here. We think you're important enough that we want to give you our attention, and we want to help you even in this little itty-bitty thing of making sure you get a good parking place. We need outdoor greeters who will then take them from the parking attendant, walk newcomers to our door, and hand them off to an indoor greeter. And then we need greeters on the inside if they need help to find something, not to say, go down that hall and turn right, to actually walk them there and help them find it. If you want to get involved, back of your connection card, there are places. Just mark it down, and someone will be in touch with you this week to say, hey, thanks for your interest in serving. We're going to get with you. Here's how we're going to do this, and we can do that. And I want to tell you something. I am not saying that because we need your help, though we do. I am saying that because I have learned in my own life that when I share, I grow. This is for your benefit. Really is. You don't want to just come and sit in a row and enjoy the show. Get involved. And you are a unique treasure chest of experiences that can benefit those who are coming behind you. Leverage it. Use it. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve. It's just such a privilege to be here, be a part of this fellowship, and be able to leverage what you've done in my life, hopefully for the good of others. Hopefully the change can be seen. And God, I know that I don't always get it right. But I thank you that you can even leverage that for your glory. Because it keeps people from looking at me and makes them look to you, who never disappoints. And I pray that you'll help each person that's sitting here today, maybe for the first time in their life, to realize they have a treasure that can be utilized for the good of others, and for the glory of the Master. And Lord, that's true even of people who don't believe in you. They have a treasure chest too. But it's incumbent upon those of us who claim to be your followers. Help us to utilize fully, freely, what you've entrusted to our care for the time that we're here. And we'll be careful to give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In a minute, the team's going to come, and they're going to lead us in our invitation. We have here at Gateway, the first Sunday of every month, we have communion, the Lord's table. If you're with us, you're a guest with us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a follower of His, you're free to partake of the elements. You don't have to be a member of this church to enjoy these elements. But you do have to be a follower of Christ. That means that you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, that you're living in right relationship with Him, because it's possible to be in somebody's family and be at odds with each other. We all know that because we do it all the time. That needs to be taken care of. Same thing in the church of Jesus Christ. We need to be with one another in a good relationship, and we need to be with our Heavenly Father in open relationship. To do that, all we have to do is confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So before you take the elements, if there's something in your life you know you need to deal with, or maybe you want to make a commitment to serve or do something, as the team comes and leads us in our songs, you can come as well. If you come to this side, you can come and deal with whatever you need to deal with between you and the Lord. Go back to your seat. If you come to this side, someone who's trained as an encourager is going to come and join you. And if there's a decision that you're making for Christ, you're coming back to Christ after a long time away, you're accepting Christ, we have some literature that that person is going to give you to help you in that relationship. But if he's speaking, okay,